Hosea chapter 10, God willing, we'll be expounding verse 11 this morning. It's good to see Sister Becky Shepherd back with us this morning. Yes, thank the Lord. The title of the message this morning is Heifers in the House of God. Thank you. That, I did not make that connection. Y'all did. That did not, the timing there just wasn't good, was it? Man, that's a blooper right there. That had nothing to do with Sister Becky Shepherd. And Sister Becky has children. She can't be a heifer anyway, which we'll learn about here in just a moment. But I promise that did not mean to come out that way. Hosea chapter 10, verse 11, heifers in the house of God. In verse 10 last week, we learned that Israel had tied herself to two furrows, meaning she's plying two different rows in two different directions for two different masters at the same time, and we all know it can't be done. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Jesus said, no man putting his hand to the plow. Plow's in front of him, and looking back in the opposite direction of the direction that plow's going is not fit for the kingdom of God. So God was going to judge Israel because their hand physically and outwardly may have been on God's plow, but their heart was looking to the gods, the nations around them. Continuing with the theme of plowing in verse 11 now, God says, and Ephraim is an heifer that is taught. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the good singing this morning. Thank you for the truth behind the songs. Thank you for those who are tuning in online this morning, and those who came here in person, encouraging our hearts, seeing each and every one. And I pray, Father, Lord, that your word will go forth in the power of your Spirit this morning. You'll open our eyes to see your word, to understand it, to grow therein, and to obey it, Father. Receive all honor and glory, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And Ephraim is an heifer that is taught. You probably can tell already that the scripture verse this morning is a rather difficult verse. It's not one that you just read and say, oh, what a blessing that is. It's not one that Brother Doug would pick out for a memory verse and bring to us, because we'd be reading it and most of us probably wouldn't be understanding it. It's a difficult verse. But as we go through it, God will open it up as he so faithfully does. God said Ephraim, that is the northern kingdom of Israel, was like a heifer. And a heifer is a female cow that has not had a calf yet. A heifer is a female cow that has not yet given birth to a calf. Now, a cow that has not yet given birth to a calf, and I'm going to put it on my terms, so you can understand it. It helped me understand it because I have chickens, all right? And a cow that has not yet given birth to a calf is like a chicken that hasn't yet laid an egg, or a duck that hadn't yet laid an egg, all right? Because we got someone here who's got some ducks or about to get some ducks. But until that chicken lays an egg, I'm feeding it, I'm caring for it, I'm doctoring it, and man, y'all ought to watch if you want some good entertainment. I'm catching it when it gets out. I'm doing all the work for the chicken, and the chicken's doing nothing for me. You get it? A cow's like a chicken in that regard, but on a much larger scale. If I have a heifer, and the heifer's eating my grass. Anyone have a heifer this morning? Anybody have a heifer in here? Used to. Well, that doesn't count. But it kind of counts. Was it on your land? All right. Did you feed it? Did you care for it? What did you get out of that heifer? Yeah, that's about it. But God had been caring for Israel. I mean, if I've got a heifer, it's eating my grass. It's eating my feed. It's receiving my care. But she's not increasing my herd. And she's not giving me any milk. God had been caring for Israel, providing for Israel, protecting Israel, and blessing Israel. Yet Israel wasn't living for God. Just a heifer. Soak it all in and give nothing in return. A lot of people are like that. She was like a heifer toward God, always taking from God, but not giving to God what rightfully belonged to Him. They were heifers in the house of God. We have heifers in God's house today, too. People who think that the Christian life is all about God taking care of them. God bless me. God help me. God rescue me. God pay my bills. God fix my problems. God take care of my health. God get my kids out of trouble. And listen, God wants to bless you and help you and rescue you and fix your problems. But God created you to serve Him and not the other way around. If we don't think about serving God as long as our needs are being met, if that's the only time we think about serving God, well, just meet my needs. I'll serve you if my needs are getting met. Then we're a heifer. If that's all service is to us, just getting our needs met, and we don't think about really serving God, we're a heifer. And now a heifer can be used for manual labor. Not like a bull now. Bulls are much stronger than heifers. But a heifer can be used for some manual labor. And in this case, God had trained Israel how to work. Not like a heifer, though. He trained her how to work like a bull. He said Israel was like a heifer that is what? Taught. Now, I want you to listen to how this Hebrew word translated taught here is used in Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. Same word. For to do them, that ye may live and go on and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. So what did God teach Israel? The statutes and His judgments. Israel was a heifer that had been taught by God to do God's statutes and judgments, to pull the plow, to break up the fallow ground, to do the hard work, to do His commandments. But instead, she was like a heifer that had been trained to do a bull's work. God had a great arrangement with Israel. You do the statutes that I teach you, and I will bless you in the land that I give you. God had taught Israel well, but they weren't doing as they had been taught. They were a bunch of lazy heifers. Lazy heifers, and look back in your text, and loveth to tread out the corn. Where I work, there's a certain duty that's very pleasant to do. I won't tell you all about it, but I'll give you a little idea. When you're doing this duty, now my wife knows all about it. She knows about this duty. We talk all the time about it. When you're doing this particular duty, you have time to sit down in a comfortable chair. You have time to relax and have some quiet time all to yourself when you're manning this particular post. And since the post is so nice and cozy, the men want to make sure that they all get their fair share manning that post throughout the day. I mean, it's pathetic. They'll break it down, divide it up into the little bits of minutes and everything like that to make sure they get their fair share of time at that comfortable post. And there's one particular man who's always willing to help out his co-workers, Miss Ann. I mean, he wants to help them out. He's a stand-up guy. He's always willing to help his co-workers out. I mean, he's always willing to lend a helping hand that he might serve them by taking their time working that comfortable post. I'm not making this up. He'll show up early to relieve them at that post. He came up to a man the other day. He came down there. Now understand, you're sitting in a chair. You're relaxed. You're the most comfortable you could possibly be at work. And he shows up early and he says, I thought you might need a breather. Need a breather, Brother Doug. Always a stand-up guy, always trying to make sure that the other guy doesn't get too worn out sitting in that comfortable chair. He's always willing to help, as long as the help is helping him. You see? That's the way Israel was. You see, treading out the corn, that is that nice, cozy post. Treading out the corn was the best job you could get if you were in the bovine category. Deuteronomy 25:4 tells us why. Brother Doug, you will relate to this, brother. Brother Doug, I've heard him say it once. I've heard him say it 100 times. I like groceries. I mean, that could be on his epitaph. I like groceries. Doug Sexton. He loves to eat. You just watch next Sunday. Watch it. How many of y'all have seen his plate on Sunday? You're going to understand this take. You're going to understand why treading out the corn was such a cozy job. Deuteronomy 25:4. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Why do the ox like treading out the corn? Why do the heifer enjoy treading out the corn? She got to stuff her face when she was eating that corn. You see, if you were an ox, you wanted the job of treading out the grain. When an ox treaded out that grain, they pulled a threshing instrument behind them that separated the grain from its shuck. But the good part was the ox got to eat all she wanted, all he wanted. The law specifically forbade the Jews from putting a muzzle on the oxen's mouths when they treaded out the corn. That's why Israel loved treading out the corn. They loved manning the cozy post. They were always happened to serve their master as long as it was serving them, which isn't serving your master at all. If we're always willing to volunteer for the easy stuff that benefits us, but we're unwilling to serve God when sacrifice is required, then we are heifers in the house of God. You get it? Kind of stings, maybe, huh? You know, there's a lot more to do in God's kingdom than simply treading out the corn. There's burdens for us to bear. You know how you get that corn? You get the corn because some oxen have to be hooked up to a plow. They got to be hooked up to instruments to drag along and break up the clods and plow the furrows and all the things that have to be done for that seed to get put in there. And then men have to plant the seed, and then men have to harvest the seed, and then they bring it in here, and then suddenly here's that heifer. Well, I'll tread out the corn. He goes up and tells those oxen, they've been out there sweating and working and breaking their backs all season long, and finally harvest time comes in, and then the heifer goes up and says, you guys may need a breather. I'll tread the corn out for you. That's the way a lot of church people are. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They're more than willing to watch everybody else do the hard stuff. More than willing. And when something easy comes along that can benefit them, well, I'll do that. But there's burdens for us to bear. There's plows for us to pull. There's fallow ground for us to break up to in the kingdom of God. Praise God for the times when God sets us in front of that corn and we get to tread out the corn. Thank God there's some times when we get some rest while we're serving the Lord and we get our bellies full and things are going great. I love those times. But those times have to be tempered with the harder times too. All the service has to be done. Our service to God includes hard labor too. You can't eat corn when you're bearing burdens. You got something on your back. You're an ox and you got this load on your back and you're having to walk this load and carry it for your master. There's no time to eat corn. You've got to get moving. You can't eat corn when you're plowing up fallow ground. There's no corn on that ground to eat in front of you. But if all we do is tread out corn, and that's all we do, you know what we become? We become fat, lazy heifers in the house of God, spiritually speaking. We get fed treading the corn, but we get strong bearing the burdens and plowing the field. And we get rewarded too. Ephraim loves to tread out the corn. God says, look back in your text, but I passed over upon her fair neck. I passed over upon her fair neck. Now, if you would underscore the words passed over. Passed over. And in the margin of your Bibles or in your notes, if you don't like writing in your Bibles, write down outside of this verse here, Exodus 12:23. Exodus 12:23. I passed over upon her neck. Now, don't get confused with the words passed over, okay? And don't confuse passed over with Passover. They're two different things. Now, in Exodus 12:23, we're going to see both of these used. Then I think this is going to explain this clearly for us. Exodus 12:23. This is on Passover night. Listen to what God told Israel. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. So there were two things going on Passover night. One, God's going to pass through the land of Egypt and he's going to judge Egypt. He's going to pass through the entire land and he's going to execute judgment on all the firstborn in every house. When he comes to the Israelites' house that have blood on the doorpost, he's not going to pass through there. He's going to pass over that. See the difference? Passover literally means to hop over, to skip over. So the word pass through here, when God passes through the land of judgment, to do judgment, that's the same Hebrew word translated passed over here in Hosea. All right? So with that in mind, God's not talking about skipping over Israel, but he's saying, if you would, but I passed over upon her fair neck. What he's saying is I passed through her fair neck. That makes sense? I passed through her fair neck. So when God said he passed over upon Israel's fair neck, he's saying he passed through Israel's fair land. Just as he passed through Egypt's fair land when he judged it on the night of Passover. God is passing through the wonderful land of Israel that he had blessed, and now he's going to judge it. Make sense? Why? Because she's a fat, lazy heifer. And so he's going to come in. He's going to say, I've got something for you, fat, lazy heifer. I'm passing through your land. And I'm going to judge you. How's he going to judge Israel? Well, Israel didn't want to pull a plow for God. Israel didn't want to break up fallow ground for God. All they want to do is tread out and eat God's corn. So what did God say he was going to do? He's going to pass through their fair land. Look back in your text now in Hosea. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow. Jacob shall break his clods. Take your pens and underscore these three verbs. Ride. What's the next one? Plow. What's the next one? Break. Ride, plow, and break. The Hebrew word ride here, don't get the idea of Ephraim getting on a horse and riding away. The Hebrew word translated ride here, it has the idea of placing something on the back of an animal that it may ride on it. One modern translation words it this way: I will set a rider on Ephraim. Or you could have the picture of God setting a burden on Ephraim. So instead of a fat, lazy heifer treading out corn, you've got one that's going to be bearing burdens, a burden riding on its back, plowing up fields, and breaking up ground. Riding, plowing, breaking. The yoke and burden of our God is easy to bear, but our enemy's burden never is. Ephraim did not want to plow God's field. So Ephraim is going to bear the burden of her enemy instead. That's what's going to happen. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, the day Jesus rode that donkey into Israel. And they cast down palm branches in front of that donkey as he bore the burden of the weight of Jesus upon him. And church, I don't know all the burdens that donkey bore in its lifetime after it bore Jesus. But I know one thing, and it's that bearing Jesus on his back was the happiest time that donkey ever had. The best time in that donkey's life was bearing the burden of Jesus Christ on his back. God said, I will set a rider on Ephraim. Church, we are oxen. We were created by our God to bear burdens, to plow fields, and to break up new ground to bear fruit to the glory of God. We're going to bear a rider. We're going to have a burden on our back. That's why Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. We're going to serve somebody. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. But you know what he never said? Some men serve no masters. He never said that. We're going to bear the burden of someone, the God who created us or the devil who wants to destroy us. One burden's going to take us up, the other burden's going to bring us down. When Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem, he sent two of his disciples in Mark chapter 11, verse 2 through 3. And saith unto them, go your way into the village that is over against you. And straightway as ye enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon no man ever sat. Loose him and bring him. Two things. Loose and bring. The colt was bound. The colt was separated from Jesus. Jesus is about to free the colt and bring the colt to him. And he said, and if anyone say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye, the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him back hither. Before that donkey came, again it was tied. When Jesus came, though, it was loosed and it was brought to him. Whoever you are, just like that donkey, the Lord hath need of you. He has a job for you to do. There is a purpose he created you for. You weren't just born into this world, into America. You just weren't born to the family you were born into just by happenstance. You were born with purpose and with God's providence. Whoever you are, like that donkey, the Lord hath need of you. The Lord wants to loose you from your bondage and give you a glorious purpose in the kingdom of God. But if we won't bear the burden of our Lord, the Lord will set another rider on our back. And that rider will weigh us down in sorrow. Here's a kingdom truth for you today. To be loaded with the burden of Christ is a glorious blessing. To be free from the burden of Christ is a heavy load to bear. I'm going to say that again. To be loaded with the burden of Christ is a glorious blessing. To be free from the burden of Christ is a heavy load to bear. It's better to be a strong ox than a fat, lazy heifer in the house of our God. With that, we'll go ahead and close. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for its convicting power upon our lives. Thank you, Father, Lord, that you told us with your word to rebuke, reprove, and exhort. It's wonderful to be exhorted. It's great to be encouraged. And sometimes, Lord, because of our fallen nature, we have to be rebuked. We have to be reproved. We have to be reminded, God, that our nature is to leave the field and to tread the corn. But Father, I pray that we will be the beasts of burden that gladly slip our neck beneath the entirety of your yoke. Because when it's fully on our backs, when it's fully around our necks, that is the happiest, lightest blessing of all. In Jesus' precious name we pray, Lord. Amen.